You're listening to Captivate and Convert, the weekly podcast created to show you how to attract the people you actually want to work with and get paid to do what only you can do. I'm your host, Christy Sigelski, and each week you can expect legit marketing tips, biz building strategies, and expert advice that'll help you ditch the grind and feel more aligned so you can captivate and convert your audience. If you're ready to grow your business without the struggle, you're in the right place. My guest on today's episode is market research consultant Melissa Harstein. She conducts VOC, or voice of customer research, for time-starved copywriters and boutique agencies. Melissa has also been battling chronic health issues for most of her life, and she actually left her corporate job back in 2016 to start her own business so she could do things her way and really carve out the time she needed to manage her illness. Because, I mean, as you can imagine, symptoms and flare-ups don't just show up on a convenient 9-to-5 schedule, right? So Melissa came on to talk about her experience of building a business while living with a chronic illness, and she shared everything she's learned about, you know, really being creative and finding ways to make her health a top priority and still have a successful business. This was honestly one of my favorite episodes because Melissa is so genuine and open, and I really think you're going to find her story helpful no matter what challenges you might be dealing with at the moment. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Christy. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
Me too. I mean, I'm always excited to be here, but I know we run in some of the same circles online, so it's finally nice to just kind of talk in real life.
Yeah, definitely.
If you know me at all, you know that I love having women on the podcast who are, I don't know, just bucking the system in some way in the online business world and doing things their way. But one of the unique things about your path to entrepreneurship is that you started your business, well, basically out of necessity, like a lot of us, but for a very different reason than most of us. So can you talk about, first of all, what you do, so people are familiar with, you know, what you're doing in the world in your business, and then what you were dealing with that ultimately led to your decision to start your own business.
Yeah. So at the moment, I recently niched down as a customer research specialist, but I've been in some form of copywriting or marketing strategy for about 5 years now. I mean, there's been a whole evolution of my business that I know we're going to get to later. But I originally started my business out of necessity because of some chronic health issues. So I have allergies and migraines and mast cell activation syndrome and some other just semi-weird, like unexplained issues. And I was having a really hard time in kind of a traditional 9-to-5 employment environment. I remember one day specifically that I was just feeling awful. My body ached. I couldn't think clearly. And my boss was like, Melissa, why aren't you smiling? Why aren't you talking with people like in the office today? And I was like, dude, you're lucky I'm even here. Like I could have called in sick, but I made the effort to show up. And also that job just had a lot of stress as well. And I ended up in just a really, really dark season of burnout from 2012 until 2014 because of all the stress and because I just physically was not able to get the rest that I needed, you know, to take care of my body. And so that was why I decided to pursue this path of entrepreneurship and start my own writing and marketing business. And so it's just been really neat to see how I haven't taken a traditional path like many of my peers in the writing space, but I've been able to create a business that works for me and allows me to take care of my health in spite of the limitations that I face on a daily basis.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like in a corporate environment, well, a corporate environment probably doesn't allow the flexibility that you might need to, I don't know, just work around things and do what you need to do day to day. And certainly the stress of that, I'm sure, doesn't help the health issues.
Oh, yeah. Definitely does not help.
Yeah. Okay. So I know you've said that taking a quote unquote subtractive approach to business has been the right move for you. Can you explain what you mean by that and how you actually implement that in the day-to-day running of your business?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, I first started with kind of like a local brick and mortar marketing studio where I was offering all these different services, like saying yes to everybody, like Sure, I can do that. Sure, I can like update your Facebook profile and I can set up a Google business page for you and I can write these 5 pages of website copy for like, you know, $10 or whatever.
Whatever they're going to pay you for, right?
Right. But I also, again, like I started noticing those same symptoms of burnout creeping in. And I was like, okay, why is this happening again? Why am I feeling this? I started my own business to avoid some of these things. And I realized that I needed to take a completely different approach and kind of take my business down to the foundations and rebuild it with what you called or what I've called it a subtractive approach to business. So it's like, what is the least that I can do in order to get the results that I want? Not because I'm being lazy, but just because like I have these limitations. Like I never know, am I going to wake up with a migraine? Am I going to wake up and my whole body just is achy for some unknown reason, right? I need to be able to have a business that can like deal with those curveballs. And so kind of my vision in 2019, 2020, when I started making these shifts, was that I wanted to have a business with one or two signature services that are like, you know, what's traditionally called a productized service. So you're doing the same thing, you know, every time, kind of in the same way. It's really simple and easy to deliver because it is such a streamlined process. And then I wanted to have, you know, just one or two audiences that I'm working with, again, to make marketing and sales easier and, you know, enough margin in my schedule that I can deal with my health issues. So I typically try to plan for 20 to 25 hours a week. Sometimes I work, you know, 30 to 35 hours if I'm feeling well and having a good health week or, you know, I have deadlines and I have to meet them. But sometimes I work 20 and just having that flexibility was really, really important. Like I said, just like, what's the least I can do and still get the results I need and be able to take care of my health and have time for hobbies and stuff too.
Well, I love that because I mean, I know you said it's not to be lazy, but like, hello, why would you do anything more than you have to do to get the outcome you're looking for, right? Like that just seems smart to me.
Yeah. And you know, I see my peers oftentimes adding more and more things to their plate. Like, oh, like I'm getting burned out. I don't want to do all these one-to-one services anymore. So I'm going to add a program. I'm going to add a course. I'm going to add digital products because that's going to free up my time. And sure, maybe that'll help in the long run. But in the meantime, it's like when you keep adding more, I think it puts more work on your plate and more effort because now you're going to market this new thing. Now you've got to create the new thing. So like, I just kept saying, okay, this is where I'm currently at. How can I strip it down even further? How can I make it even easier?
Yeah. There's so much I could say about that because I just think that whole like doing more, you know, adding more revenue streams, more income, it's just all like part of the culture, you know, but I think, like you said, it kind of just boils down to like, what do you need really? And how can you get there with sort of the least amount of stress and energy use, you know? It just, I don't know, it just makes sense to me.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to talk about the evolution of your business because you talked about, you know, how you slowly niched down more and more over the years. But what did that look like? And how did, you know, dealing with your health issues impact those decisions every time you decided to switch gears a little bit along the way?
Yeah. So like I said, I initially had this vision in kind of 2019, 2020, where I wanted to start having a really simple, streamlined business. I decided like there wasn't enough opportunity for me to scale my local marketing studio because I live in a small community. And so I'm like, I'm going to take my business online and I'm going to really focus as a copywriter. And at first I was like, okay, I'm going to focus on website copy because it's something I'm already doing. It's something I'm good at. But I was struggling to make sales because there's a lot of copywriters online. And I felt like it didn't matter. You know, I tried all these different strategies for connecting with people and marketing and building relationships and positioning myself this way, positioning myself that way. And I was having a hard time breaking through because it was a fairly saturated market. So then I was like, okay, I know I want to have this one signature service that I'm known for. So it's easy for me to deliver it. So it's easy for people to refer others to me. Why don't I try case studies? Because I actually started my career straight out of college as a journalist. And I love interviews. I love research. And so case studies seemed like a good fit for me. But the problem I ran into there was that I felt like I was constantly having to turn out content. And I'm not a fast writer in general. I'm a deep thinker. But I'm not a fast writer. And it's really, really hard to be creative on a day when you don't feel well, when your head hurts, your body hurts, you've got brain fog. And that was like the biggest limitation for me. And I was like, okay, this is not going to work long term. And it was so cool how I kind of completely unexpected stumbled into what I do now, doing customer research for other copywriters and for service providers. One of my case study clients, Amisha Schremonker, she reached out to me and said, hey, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to do the interviews for me on my upcoming launch project, because you're so good at doing these interviews for these case studies that you've done for me. That sounds amazing. I had no idea that was even something I could do for other people. And it was just perfect. You know, it checked all of the boxes for me. It was a service I loved. It was something that was easy to deliver. I could show up and do an interview or, you know, do like some of the analytical work of looking for research insights on a day that I wasn't feeling well. It was something where clients would hire me 6 to 8 times a year because they're always having more launches and websites that they're trying to write and that they need support with. And it just all of a sudden, everything clicked into place for me. And that vision I had been striving towards, you know, of one signature service, 1 or 2 audiences that I'm serving, you know, a simple marketing and sales strategy, it all just fell into place. And I wasn't even realizing, like I said, this is something I could offer other people. And yeah, it's like I feel the difference in my body. Like my health has literally been improving because I don't have so much stress, because I'm not working nonstop, because I have more margin in my schedule. And I'm just I'm just getting a bit emotional now, but it's just, I can't even tell you how amazing it is to have that freedom in my life and my business and see it making such a big difference on my health.
Yeah, that's a really amazing feeling. So, I mean, let's back up a minute, because I think some people listening might not know what you mean when you talk about case studies and audience researching, because not everybody listening is a copywriter, obviously. So I'm curious if you can just kind of give it a little overview so people have a better understanding of how that fits into, you know, that marketing space.
Yeah. So case studies are an in-depth story about the work that you did for your client. And it's kind of like a long testimonial, right? Like you think about a testimonial being 3 to 5 sentences. But a case study is more like a 1,000-word narrative story told from your customer's point of view about what they were concerned about before they started working with you, what their hesitations were, what that experience was like, what surprised them, what the greatest value and benefit was. And so now I'm not offering case studies anymore, but it's that exact same skill set that I've transferred over into customer research. Because, you know, if you're putting a new offer out into the world, you know, whether it's a course, a website, you know, some other piece of content, the best way or like the most effective way to help that piece of content convert into sales and captivate people's hearts is to understand what it is that your audience really, really cares about. I think often as business owners, we tend to make assumptions about who our audience is. What, you know, I think we've all kind of done those buyer personas where it's like, you know, my ideal customer is in her 30s and shops at Target and, you know, has a messy bun with yoga pants, you know, like those things that really aren't helpful at all. Like, how do I actually translate that into copy that connects and converts? And so what audience research is going in and asking those strategic questions to current customers, to past customers, to people you'd like to work with in the future, and really find out, you know, what is this dream that they have for their lives that you can then step in and solve? And how can you speak to that? What is it they're struggling with? What concerns do they have about the thing that you're offering? What are they really looking for? Yeah. And then just, and like I said, because I partner a lot of times with copywriters, they take my insights, these audience insights that I've gathered, and then they're going in and like using those insights to write that copy that captivates and converts.
Yeah. It really allows you to get inside your ideal client's head and even pull out their language. Like, what are they saying around this? What are they using to describe how they're feeling or what they're looking for? And it kind of makes writing the copy just 100 times easier.
Yeah, I always say that the most effective copy is going to come straight from your customer's mouth.
Absolutely. Now, in your experience, having this micro niche, it's really been the key to becoming known for your special brand of something, as I like to say. And it's made it easier for you to get clients. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on why you think it's worked so well for you.
Let me start by sharing a story not related to my business, just my personal life. I got a text from a friend this week and she said, "Hey, Melissa, do you know anyone that does remodeling?" Right? And like when you ask that type of question, it's like, yeah, sure. Like, I think I know someone. Like, there's a lot of remodeling companies in our town. But that's not all that she asked me. She said, "Do you know anyone who does remodeling? Because we have like this really small project in our basement. We want to redo our bathroom and our laundry room. And I think that it's going to be too small of a project for the big companies to take on." And so that piece right there, that instantly made me think about someone that I knew that I had actually written website copy for many years ago. Like, they started their remodeling business because they realized there were people who needed this service and the big companies weren't going to touch it. So when she asked me that question with that level of specificity, I instantly had someone to refer her to. And so the same thing is true now for me with my business, because my micro niche is so specific. Like, there's not a lot of people doing customer research. And there's especially not a lot of customer research, people doing customer research for other copywriters and online business owners. And so, like, it has made it so much easier for me to get clients. I mentioned earlier, you know, this first client I had, she was like last summer commenting on a Facebook post about, "What's the best thing you've done this year to like make your business easier?" She said, "I decided to outsource these interviews and not do them myself, not do this customer research myself." And Prerna from Content Bistro messaged her back and was like, "Wait, tell me more about this. I've been thinking about this. Like, I might also need, you know, someone to come in and do this research for me." And then all of a sudden I had a client who I love working with. And I think I've worked with them like 5 or 6 times now since then. And it was because, again, having a micro niche is something that you can be known for. It makes it really easier for others to like refer you. So backing up to like my health, again, I knew that I only had so many hours in a week that I could put towards marketing. It's like, I know that this service I offer is going to take, you know, 26 hours over 2 weeks. So I start doing the math, you know, and I'm like, this is how much time I have left for marketing. What can I subtract? How can I make this as easy as possible to get the results I need in that amount of time? And so this was one way for me to do that.
I feel like when you talk about, you know, niching down so specifically, the thing that comes up for me is like kind of the fear around feeling, I don't know, pigeonholed or not having the ability to do other kinds of projects that I might be interested in or excited about. Has that ever been a factor for you, or how do you manage that with, you know, with the knowledge, knowing that, you know, micro niching is actually what helped your business thrive?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two sides to that coin there. And I totally agree with you. Like, that's a very valid question. I have still continued to do some other projects when I have time in my calendar and it makes sense. So over the holidays, like, I had like 3 different projects that I thought were going to come through. And the people are like, "I just can't do this. I'm too busy with the holidays. Let's start in January." And so I was like, okay, like, I need something else on my calendar. I need to make some money this month. And I reached out to a couple of my former local clients and said, "Hey, do you need updates to your website? Can I even just write some social media posts for you?" That was a little bit more proactive in that situation. But I also know, like, if I have someone that still comes to me and wants me to write a case study, I can do that. It's not like the thing I'm out there promoting myself for anymore, but I have that experience and people know that I do it. And I have the freedom to choose. I have the freedom to choose to do that if I want to and if it makes sense. But yeah, definitely having this micro niche has, for me, like, kind of my North Star and my vision is always like, when I'm making decisions about my business, whether it's individual projects I'm going to take on or just kind of my bigger business structure as a whole, of like, how is this going to impact my health? And so for me, like, I'm willing to say no to other opportunities if it's going to impact my health. Even just this week, like, I had a friend come to me and we were so excited about this new program we wanted to create together about doing market research. And we felt like we were seeing like people raising their hands already saying, "I need this. I want to learn how to do this." She's experienced at creating programs and doing launches. Like, it just made sense. But I like spent the weekend thinking and trying to get my head and my heart aligned. And I was like, you know, I'm excited about this and it's a great opportunity, but I know like it's going to add a lot of stress to my plate. And so in that instance, I chose not to do it. And it was a hard, hard thing to have that conversation with her. I was, you know, anxious, like couldn't sleep for like 2 days because I'm like, what's she going to think if I tell her no? And it ended up being okay. And she was like, "Thank you for telling me honestly." So I think just, you know, again, having this micro niche gives me the freedom to say yes or to say no, according to what's on my plate in the moment.
Yeah. I think, you know, just that flexibility is really important, and it's really valuable. Like, I've kind of mentioned this before, but, you know, just because you are known for doing a particular thing, it doesn't mean that people aren't going to come to you for other things. And like you said, you get to choose. Like, you know, I'm pretty much at this point known for email marketing. That's where most of my clients, that's what most of my clients want. But occasionally, you know, I'll get somebody who reaches out to me for website copy, and I kind of still like doing website copy. So that doesn't mean I want to do it all the time, but sometimes it's fun just to take that random job and do something a little different. And, you know, nobody's the wiser. It's like, you know, you still have choice in the matter.
You're right. And I think that sometimes that random job is just the creative spark, you know, that lets you. Sometimes, you know, the thing you do every single day in and day out, can get a little bit boring, and having the ability to choose and do that other project is just, I don't know, it makes everything so much better.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something you wouldn't necessarily have the option for, you know, if you're working for somebody else, but that's part of the gig with owning your own business.
Absolutely.
So I know, like, I've mentioned this several times on the show, so it's no secret that I have sort of a love-hate relationship with social media. And I'm always interested to hear how other business owners have managed to break away from it. And you, my friend, have stopped posting on social, mostly, in favor of a more unconventional approach to marketing. So you need to tell me all about that.
I am 100% like you, Christy, where I had a love-hate relationship with social. It was just, I felt like I had to be on all the time and showing up with my best self and just turning out content. So I always had more posts to feed the algorithm. And last summer, when Instagram came out and said, "We're officially a video first platform," I was like, nope, I'm done. I've got to find a way to do this and make this work for my business. And so I was talking about it with my business coach at the time. And we realized, you know, when I first started my business, I had this local marketing studio in my community. And what worked really, really well for me was networking and building relationships. Like, I didn't do any marketing at all for the first 3 years and, like, raised my rates every 6 months simply by showing up at a weekly networking event and, like, having coffee with someone and then just doing really good work and getting my name out there. And so I was like, okay, how can I do that same thing in the online space? So here's how it started. Kind of through Instagram, I saw someone that was having this monthly roundtable event. And since then, I've learned about several people that are doing this. You know, there's the sales roundtable, there's the strategic connections roundtable, there's the speak up roundtable by a speaking coach. And I started going to those events and realizing, well, A, it just fills up my cup because I love learning, and just a chance for me to be really immersed for like an hour. I just get to be with other small business owners on Zoom talking about some topic related to business and growth and marketing and stuff. So it was like fulfilling personally. And through those kind of small group meetings that were kind of, you know, intimate, and like I just got to build a lot deeper relationships with people a lot faster than trying to like get someone's attention by like commenting on their Instagram post. So then I started noticing in myself like this growing desire to hire some of these people for these roundtables I was going to. It's like every time I showed up, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I love what this person does. Like, can I work with them at some point in the future? So then I started thinking, okay, how can I do this for myself? How can I start my own like monthly roundtable? And I did. It's called the Customer Research Roundtable, where I can invite people to come and spend an hour a month learning about customer research and how you can use it to improve your copy and develop a more effective marketing strategy and network and meet other small business owners. It's just been so fun. I actually had my very first roundtable yesterday. It's January as we're recording this. And it was so cool. You know, I think there was like 10 or 11 people that showed up. One person was really neat because he's an architect from Mexico. Never met the guy, but he had joined my email list through a podcast that I was a guest on last fall. It heard about this roundtable, and he's like, I've had this really great business that's been successful, but now I'm starting a second business and I've got to figure out a new marketing strategy. And my marketing firm said, you've got to do your own customer research and figure this out. We're not going to do that for you. And so because he was on my email list, he's like, hey, I want some ideas. How can I do my research to like get this new business off the ground? And it was just so fun because, like, honestly, I maybe had seen his name, you know, popping up on my email service provider as, you know, someone who had opened and clicked my emails. I didn't know him. You know, he was just a name. But now it's like, I know I can see his face in my mind as I'm talking about this. Like, we've started this really great conversation. You know, he emailed me afterwards and said, Melissa, every minute of that roundtable was time well spent. And I was just like so excited. I took a screenshot of that message and sent it to my husband. But I'm so excited that I finally found a marketing strategy that allows me to leverage my natural strengths as a relationship builder, you know, as a conversationalist, and I don't have to spend all this time on social media.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love this idea. So do you mind if we like dig into this a little bit more?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the idea came from that you were going to these in-person networking events when you had the brick and mortar business. Is that right?
Correct.
But so you were going to these roundtable events to learn something. They were teaching something and it ended up to be like you could connect with other people who would maybe then later potentially hire you or you might hire them.
Right. And those roundtable events were actually online. Like, I just started going to them last fall.
Okay. So is the idea behind it that you're setting up kind of a workshop type of thing where you're teaching something, or is it, you know, kind of bring your questions, we're going to have a discussion, or is it just around we're going to network about this topic?
Yeah. So for my roundtable, you know, we're going to bring your questions. We'll have this open kind of discussion. And because for me, networking and relationship building is important, I try to start out the first 10 minutes or so, we just kind of go around the Zoom room and everybody introduces themselves, you know, says, this is who I am, this is what I do. And I ask a fun question. So yesterday, the question was, what is the most unusual thing that you've eaten lately? And it was just like, some of the responses were so great. And then we kind of moved into this open Q&A time. And a couple of people had submitted questions ahead of time when they registered for the event. And then it was so cool. Like, as we were talking, people started commenting in the chat, like, oh, I have a question too. I have a question too, if there's time. And those questions were based on other things we had already discussed, right? So it's like, as we're having this conversation, people are like, oh, I see how this connects to my business. Like, I want to learn more about this. I have this question. And for me, like, that's so valuable because the service I offer is kind of obscure in a way. Like you mentioned earlier, if you're a copywriter, you know what customer research is, but not everybody does. So for me, this roundtable is also a way to educate people about what I do and like really make it click for them. And I saw that happening in real time, which was so cool.
I might have to steal this idea. I think this is kind of fabulous because it's almost like you're taking, at least for me, the piece of social media that I like, which is truly connecting with people and, you know, sending messages and having conversations and that don't necessarily have much to do with business. It's just like really finding somebody that you truly connect with and you're like, oh, we could be friends, you know? And I just love the idea of sort of bringing that to a smaller circle, but also building your list maybe and expanding your network a little bit.
Exactly. You should definitely steal that idea and I will come. I will come to your roundtable with you again and learn more.
All right. We're going to talk about this after the show and I'm probably going to have to pay you for your ideas. This is fabulous. I love it. I love it. You should start teaching this.
I have one more thing to my plate, right?
Right. Okay. So you're of the opinion that having certain constraints or limitations to deal with in your business isn't necessarily a bad thing. So let's talk about, you know, how those limitations or constraints might actually work to your advantage.
So as I mentioned earlier, I have health constraints, but I think that there's other people that are facing constraints too. Whether you're a parent of young kids, whether you're going through a season of burnout, maybe you're caring for an aging parent or have someone else that you're a caregiver for. And I think there's a chance, you know, I've been in seasons where I've just been really down because I'm not able to do everything I want to do. You know, I've always said that I have more drive and ambition than my body will ever allow me to see happen. But I've...
Relatable.
Yeah, right? And so I've like just flipped that script around and been like, okay, I can't get rid of these limitations, but I can choose to use them to my advantage. And so, you know, as we've been talking about today, I've made these choices to work within those limitations. And I really think it's given me a more like a more joyful business. Like there was just a moment last week where I was just like thinking, like, is it really this easy? Like, is my business really as easy as it feels right now? Is the other shoe going to drop someday soon? You know, but it felt easy because I had decided to embrace those limitations that I had and work with them.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think it kind of reminds me a little bit. I mean, and it's obviously nowhere near the, you know, what you're talking about here with health limitations. But I remember, you know, having such resistance to like setting up a structure for myself in terms of my schedule. There's all these different ways you can go about it. And I had kind of looked into time blocking a little bit and I was very resistant to it because again, it was like, oh, my freedom's going to be taken away, right? Like I'm going to have to follow this set schedule of if I set it out that way. And I didn't like it. Like I wanted to rebel against it. But I had Jill Wise on the show and she was talking about how setting up that structure for herself really actually gave her more freedom as long as she was able to be flexible with it and understand that not everything is going to go according to plan. You know, not everything is going to follow your schedule. But if you can be flexible and move things around and know that if this doesn't work out this way today, you can move something to tomorrow. It actually gives you a little bit more freedom because you have some time in there for just freedom and creativity. Like you can do what you want sometimes during the day. Whereas before, when I wasn't setting a schedule for myself, I literally had no time to do anything I wanted to do. So I don't know if that makes sense or resonates with what you're saying, but I feel like constraints can be tough, but it's like once you just kind of accept it and move forward, you can kind of make it work for you.
I totally agree. I think that's particularly true for us as creatives, where it's like, you can't put my creativity in a box. You know, we rules and the processes and structure. But I think you're right. Like the structure is what actually gives us space to be even more creative. And it's like, I have this margin in my schedule so I can spend 2 hours thinking before I start writing my newsletter. Like how amazing is that? Right? Yeah. I have time to think. I don't just have to sit down and like bang it out.
I know. And I love that you talked about in your application that you actually schedule like these fun things into your day. I think that's so important. And it's something that we're certainly not accustomed to hearing. It's not something we're taught. It's like you get in there and you do the work and you don't have the fun until the work's done. But the problem is the work's never done, right? So if you don't schedule those things in, you're never going to get to them. And to your point, it actually helps you be more productive and, you know, feel more creative.
Yeah, especially when I was writing lots of copy, you know, before I pivoted my services again, I found that taking an hour and a half to do some watercolor painting after lunch, you know, I mean, we're all tired after lunch. We get that carb, you know, that nap time, sleepy feeling. But for me, mm-hmm. using that time to do some painting, I came back to my writing so refreshed and the words just flowed versus trying to push through. I mean, when I try, and some of this is from my health limitations too. It's like, I know when I try to force it and try to push through, I don't actually get anything done. It's better just to step away and like come back when I'm feeling refreshed.
I love that. I really love that. And I can so relate to it. Like I used to, when I first started the podcast, I used to try to book a lot of interviews back to back so that I would just kind of get it done in a few days. But I found that, you know, just having call after call was really not working for me. And so just a simple little tweak of like, you know, taking a half an hour between calls, like I have it in my calendar so that a call cannot be scheduled within a half an hour of another call. And it's just like the difference it's made is indescribable because it's just like giving my brain that 30 minutes to rest and regenerate is like, I'm so much more coherent. I'm so much more interested in the conversation, which is pretty important when you have a podcast, right? So you can never really underestimate giving yourself that space to do those things.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much, Christy. I think that is so smart.
Well, I have my moments. Are you ready for the Christy question?
Yeah, go for it. Let's do this.
Okay. I'm totally cheating on the first one because you mentioned something in your podcast application that I really just had to ask about. What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you, Melissa?
Two inmates escaped from the county jail when I was in high school.
Okay, stop right there. People, did you hear this? Two inmates escaped from prison.
And
go on.
And they spent the night on my family's farm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we lived I grew up in Northern Iowa, right? So just try to imagine Iowa stereotypes. It's summer. There's tall, green, beautiful, lush corn everywhere. And these guys escape from prison and the cops are chasing them through the cornfields. You know what I mean? And we have this fishing cabin that's about a quarter mile behind our house. And those guys, it's surrounded by cornfield. And I think it was only one of the guys ended up staying there that night. My dad woke up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden had this thought of oh my gosh, what if they're out there? But he was going to go look. It was pitch black, you know? So the next morning he went out and didn't see anything and then went on his merry way. 2 days later, my mom goes out there and she's cleaning up because we'd had a party, at the pond over the weekend. And she notices these jeans that are folded up in the corner. And she goes, those jeans don't belong to anyone in our family. So then she started looking around and in a different corner, there is this pair of jail shoes. So then she started realizing that all these different things that had been upstairs in the cabin had been moved downstairs and all the different cupboards had been ruffled through and my brother's swim trunks and swimming shoes were missing. So we called the cops, and they came out and they did this search and took evidence and stuff. And then we didn't hear anything for a few months. So we're having another party at our pond and my mom says, hey, Melissa, go in and get this notepad. I want to write something down. And I pull the notepad out of the cupboard and get this. The guy wrote us a thank you note.
Oh my God.
He's he signed it too. He's like, thanks. I needed somewhere to stay for the night. I try to use very little. Thanks, Andy. And so the cop was
a polite criminal.
Right? His mama raised him right, I guess. And so we still have a copy of it framed on our wall, but it's just so crazy. I mean, those guys were in there for drugs, so it wasn't super serious. They weren't going to come murder us in the middle of the night. But here's the kicker. I came home from college a year later for winter break and my mom walks upstairs and she goes, Melissa, don't freak out, but someone just escaped from the jail again. You need to go lock your car doors now.
Oh my God. And your parents are still living there. They haven't moved.
They are. Yeah. I think they finally, there was some issue with the jail cell door where if you wiggled it up and down and left to right and just the right pattern, it would come loose or something crazy. I mean, I grew up in a small town. And so I guess they finally got the problem fixed after the guys escaped the second time.
That's hilarious. I don't know. I don't know that I, at least hopefully I hope they got an alarm system or something.
Yeah.
That is the craziest story I think I've ever heard on this show. And I hope you've incorporated it into an email somewhere.
I have, yes.
Okay. On a little bit more serious note, the second question is a little deeper. So I think that, we all sort of have these moments where whatever we're dealing with feels really overwhelming and insurmountable. And, we start to feel a little sorry for ourselves or a lot sorry for ourselves. I'm wondering what that moment was for you and how are you able to change your thoughts around it? Or have you been able to change your thoughts around it completely? Because I know for me, there are, certainly these couple of things that keep coming up here and there, even though I've had moments of clarity around them.
Yeah, there definitely, there has been a cost, an opportunity cost to all these choices that I've made in my business. In order to have this subtractive approach to business and this simple business structure, my business has grown at a lot slower rate than I would have liked. I'm talking about financial growth, about having, clients booked out, the number of clients I'd like to work with each month. And that's been really hard. Specifically, there were some moments in 2021 where I was in the midst of this change, from case studies to customer research. And it was just taking a while, to get my marketing out there, to build relationships, to get in front of the right people and book projects. I only had one project a month from August through December. And there were so many times in that season where I just was like, am I going to be able to keep going? Am I going to have to close down my business? Because I had this statistic, I hear in the back of my head of most small businesses close because they run out of cash. And it was like, do I have enough to make it to the next month? I kept thinking about, I felt so confident that my plan could work and that this vision I had for my business was going to work if I could just see it through. But like, I can't even tell you how many sleepless nights I had, how many times I was just crying to my husband or my best friend because I just didn't know if I could keep going. But I also thought about the alternative of going back and working for someone else. And I'm like, I can't do that. I can't go work for someone else again and deal with, you know, having to show up with a smile on my face and pretend that I'm happy when I feel like crap. And so that was what kept me going. I knew I had to see it through.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. A lot to think about there. So where can people find you since you're not on social media these days? Where can they connect with you and, I don't know, start a conversation or learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, two ways. First is I'd love to invite everybody to come to my roundtable. It's the last Wednesday of every month, and you can learn more about this, the Customer Research Roundtable, on my website at melissaharstein.com/roundtable. You can also reach out to me via email and just strike up a conversation because I'm like you, Christy. I love connecting with people and just talking about business things, talking about not business things, making friends. My email address is melissa@melissaharstein.com.
Awesome. And I will put those links in the show notes. I can't tell you again. I just think the roundtable idea is brilliant and I'm seriously going to steal it. I'm going to talk to you about it. Thank you for hanging out with us today and sharing your story. I think it's really important. Like I said, before we hit record, you know, there's a lot of people out there dealing with something and, you know, their health issues may not be exactly your health issues, but I think we can all relate to having, you know, certain limitations or things that we're dealing with that make it hard. And I think that, you know, your story is really going to help somebody. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Christy. It's been a pleasure to be here. And I'm like you. I see people out there that have these limitations and I just want to be able to encourage them that it's possible to work within those limitations and create a business that works for you.
If you know an email funnel is the missing piece in your marketing strategy, but hiring a professional copywriter like yours truly isn't in the budget just yet, I have just the thing to help you DIY the entire thing in a weekend. I created the Instant Funnel Bundle to help you craft emails and sales pages that connect, captivate, and convert. See what I did there? So you can start filling your one-on-one and group program spots without providing value in Facebook groups all day and sliding into people's DMs hoping to snag a client. And the Instant Funnel Bundle comes with everything you need to just get it done already. I'm talking a brand voice and messaging guide, a welcome sequence swipe file, 4 sample nurture emails, promo sequence swipe files, long form sales page swipes, and a sales page design template. So you literally get 45 pages of swipe files and templates for $77. Now, if you want to go get your hands on it, the link to the sales page is in the show notes. So go check it out.